Last week, about lewd fellows of the baser sort. You remember those? We talked about those a little bit. We're going to move on from there. I'm not going to take time to review this week. We're going to move on and understanding that the reason, almost every time, the reason that people were stirred up against Paul, you look in the scriptures and search them and find out that the reason that these people were against Paul or stirred up people against Paul was because he was bringing in crowds, okay? He was bringing in crowds, and the reason he was bringing in crowds was because he was giving them the simplicity that was the gospel. Now, you must understand, there's nothing hard about the gospel. He that hath the Son hath life is not difficult. Accepting Christ as your Savior is not difficult. Realizing that you're a sinner is not difficult. And him telling these people that all the ritualistic things that they were doing were pointing towards something, but it was this is what it was pointing towards. The traditions of the Jews that they had in the Old Testament were all pointing towards Christ. But once they saw the Christ and once they had the Christ, they still wanted to hold on to those old things. And those old things didn't save them anyhow. It was belief and understanding in what those old things did that was counted to them for righteousness. Amen. People still had to be saved in the Old Testament just like they had to be saved in the New Testament. So what was happening is these big groups of people that were coming were emptying the churches that were in a place around the town, were emptying those to go and hear this gospel that Paul was bringing. Throughout this chapter, you see four times, and you know me, I can't hardly talk about the Lord without talking about the scriptures. I'm so thankful that Miss Diane gave that testimony, because understand this, the entrance of thy word giveth light is not in the scriptures, so you can just forget about it. The way that people get light is through the scriptures. That's how they get that light. That's how they get faith, is through the scriptures. That's how they get this gospel, is through the word of God. I know preaching brings forth great movements of the heart and great stirring of emotion, but understand this. If you're preaching without the word of God, pack it up. Because the entrance of thy word giveth light. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When Paul went out preaching, he did not go out preaching on his own accord. He went out preaching the word of God. Big difference. As if we look now, I want to, let's skip ahead now. I'm just going to read some verses to you, and then we're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to start in verse 5, but I'm just going to read these and move on. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." Glory to God. Yes, there is. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken the security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now listen to this verse and we'll pray. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity again to come to these people to talk to them about Paul. Lord, I believe the thread that runs through all of Paul's ministry is your word. I'm excited about that, Lord, that we still have that word that Paul had. I'm so excited, Lord, that we still have the Lord that Paul had. I'm so excited, Lord, that we still have that precious blood that Paul had. Lord, I'm so excited that we still have that same power available to us that Paul had. Lord, please help us to search your scriptures just as Paul did. Lord, please be with us today. My prayer is always, let me decrease to nothing right now and let you increase to everything throughout this message. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So he goes into Thessalonica. Thessalonica didn't receive the word necessarily. There were some that got saved, and nobody knows how many. It didn't really say how many got saved, but understand this. They had several meetings. A lot of people came out, stirred up with envy. They sought to kill Paul. They always do. They want to get rid of the guy that is preaching the word of God. What happens in the field today and the way things seem to work out today, if you stand for something, immediately you're condemned. If you stand for the King James Bible and stand that it's inspired and stand that it's preserved, immediately you're ridiculed and immediately you are not worth worrying about. You must be uneducated, because an educated man would understand that if you search the history of the Bible and search the history of how things were done, that there are certainly no way that you can say that it's preserved or inspired, because too many men have had their hands on it. I submit to you, and you've got to get a hold of this. I've said this 100 million times, and I'll say it 100 million more. If you put man's hands on God's word, it will be corrupt. If you take man's hands off of God's word, that's the way God wants it. How is that possible? How is it possible to take man's hands off? Because either God preserved it or he did not preserve it. Either God inspired it or he did not inspire it. You can look into the history. You can look into the men that were responsible for writing the words. You can look at all these things, but all you're going to find every time is sinful men. Doesn't matter how far back you go. I love my dad. He's a sinner. I love Rod Black. He's a sinner. We're all sinners. Every last one of us are sinners. So don't sit there and say for 1 minute that, well, because of us, we have the scripture. Because of these men, we have the scripture. Because of what they did, we have the scripture. Paul didn't have the scripture because he had great scribes. Paul did not have the scripture because he walked with Jesus Christ. Paul had the scripture because Jesus Christ said, I will preserve them. I will keep them. That's why Paul had the scripture. That's why you have the scripture. Because God said, I will take care of that. Now, knowing that, he goes into Thessalonica. Thessalonica did not receive that word with all readiness of mind. Regardless of what you're holding in your hand now, if you're holding God's word in your hand, glory to God. But if the person that you're talking to about this word is not ready to receive it or did not come with readiness of mind, don't expect them to receive what you're about to tell them. Okay? Now, so he goes into Thessalonica. And by the way, they're not rejecting you. Please understand, they're not rejecting you. When you go out sowing and you go out to tell somebody about Christ and they don't accept Christ as their Savior, they are not rejecting you. They're rejecting him. Now, you can hinder that by not presenting the gospel in a Christian way. You can hinder that by trying to put yourself into that. You can hinder it, but they're rejecting Christ. They're not rejecting you. See, when you go out to soul winning, don't think of yourself as a salesman. I've heard that before. Well, you know, a good salesman will be a good soul winner. Hogwash. God will help you to do things. I'm amazed at how people will leave God out of things when they go to do something for God. I'm going up to preach, and they say in their mind, because I can speak well and because I have a vast vocabulary, I'm going to be a good preacher. That has nothing to do with the preacher. If God is in your preaching, it will be great preaching. If God's not in your preaching, it won't be great preaching. See, what happens, though, is people will have great preaching preached to them, but they don't come with readiness of mind to receive it, and because they don't, what do they have? See, God desperately wants to work in the hearts of people, but if you don't come ready to hear, how in the world is he going to help you? You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
All right, let's move on from that. In verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They didn't receive Paul's preaching. They didn't receive what Paul was teaching. They received the word. They received the word with all readiness of mind, but they didn't stop there. And searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. I challenge you. I want you to do this. when preacher gets done preaching, when Rod gets done preaching, when I get done preaching, when Mark gets done preaching, I don't care who it is, when they get done preaching, you need to search the scriptures whether those things, what they are telling you, are true. Where they are telling you is so. Do you know why people deal with the history of the King James Bible, or the history of the Baptist people, or the history of these things? Do you know why they do that? Because they know that the people in the room will not search. They know that the people in the room will not search daily to find out if what they're telling them is true or not. See, do you know why the influx of the other versions are coming in? By the way, this isn't brand new. This was happening in Scripture time. The Bible says, we are not as many which publish the word of God, which publish the bad word of God, which corrupt that seed. We are not as many as do those, as corrupt the word of God. So they were corrupting the word of God way back then. Now, why would they corrupt the word of God? To get what they wanted out of the people. See, God wants all men to be saved. He doesn't want all men to be shaved, amen? He wants people to come into his church house and hear the word of God. He wants them to come in, and after they hear the word of God with all readiness of mind, Paul's teaching you how to come to church here. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Paul's teaching you how to come to church. These are noble people. If you want to be a noble Christian, you want to be noble in Bethel Baptist Church, come to church, number one. The second thing is, don't only just come to church, come to church with readiness of mind. Now, to do that, you've got to leave the world out of those doors. Do you know why people come inside churches with their cell phones on? Because you can't break loose from the world for 1 minute. You don't even realize that cell phone is on you when you walk into the church. I don't fault the people, because that's their lifeline today. Do you realize that like 25 years ago, we didn't have cell phones? How did we ever function? I'm seriously, how did you function before? That's all I've got now is a cell phone. Do you know that that is taking, the things of the world are completely enveloping us to where we can't go anywhere with readiness of mind to hear? So you come to church, amen. It's good to come, first of all. It's good to leave the world out. Just leave it out and come into church. Make this a refuge. Make this an infirmary. Make this a place where you can come and hear about the Savior that loves you today. Then when you come with readiness of mind, ready to hear what's preached, ready to hear God's word, when it's open to you, be ready to hear it. And then after you hear it, go home and search. Because you're only in church on Sunday and Wednesday. So when you're in church on Sunday and Wednesday, he wants you to search Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He wants you to search to prove whether those things are so. Because here's the thing. If you don't go and search, you're just going to believe everything that's fed to you. You're going to believe everything that's fed to you in a book. Or I got to be honest with you. I'm not a commentary guy. I'm not a book written by a preacher guy. I'm not a book written by anybody. If my preacher put out a book, I love him, but I'm not going to spend days reading his book. I'm not going to spend days reading Brother Black's book or Brother Mark's book. I'm not going to spend days reading that. I would rather read the scripture. And I've told people over and over and over again, don't worry about searching what man has to write. Worry about what God has to write. Spend more time in your Bible than you do in the other. These were more noble people because they showed up, they received the word of God with readiness of mind, and then they searched the scriptures. They searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So he tells you, he teaches through this one little verse on how you ought to come to church, how you ought to come ready to receive a blessing at church. These people, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they received the word with all readiness of mind. Search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Verse 12, therefore many of them believed. What a great payoff. You come in with readiness of mind. You come in, you show up ready to receive the scriptures. The scriptures are preached to you, and glory to God, many folks believed. How many people come into the church building and leave unbelieving what the preacher just said? And I know, salvation, amen, but how about beyond salvation? How about beyond? How about he's going to prepare a place for you? How about beyond that? How about he's going to take care of you while he's here? Can you try to believe that today? That he's going to take care of you? Well, you don't understand the economic times. I know. I know a lot of folks here are suffering. I know that. And I can't understand all the things that God does, but I wonder, he promised he was going to take care of us. Do you leave believing that? Do you search the scriptures to find out if it's true? Because I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord desperately wants to take care of you. He desperately wants to have fellowship with you. Now, it may not be in the way that the world says. Well, Gloria, he's going to give you $1 million falling off a bank truck. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says he'll take care of your needs. Just amazing what Americans think that they need today. Therefore, many of them believed also of the honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that, what's this say next? When the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that what? That the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. It wasn't Paul's preaching, it was what he was preaching that was getting them mad. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. There was still some work to be done. Listen, the reason that they were upset at the word being preached is this. I don't want to step on toes here, but I normally do. I came from a Lutheran church, okay? The Lutheran church is one small step away from the Catholic church. It's not even a big step. It's just a small step away from the Catholic church. When we were involved in the Lutheran church, they were going to the process, you know, the direct deposit, direct withdrawal system that we have today in our beautiful country, where people can have their hands in your cookie jar at any time they want, okay? Well, the churches were starting to go to this, and the Lutheran church had asked my father to open up his bank account so they could take 10% out of his pay every single week, and he would not have to write the check. Save you money on stamps, they said. Okay, 44 cents to save. So you can have access to my bank account. Understanding this, if you get a Lutheran saved, if you get a Catholic saved, and Catholics are there now, by the way, they want to know your financial situation anymore before you even join the church. You say what you want to say. Brother Dave, I don't believe that. It doesn't matter what you believe, that's what's happening. They want to know your financial situation before you even join the church. And what they'll do is this, they don't care necessarily about your soul, and people get mad at me, well, those Catholics do care. Some probably genuinely care. But understand this, the vast majority do not care about your soul as much as they care about your pocketbook. And if you get somebody saved, you don't have to spend money to get to heaven. If you get somebody saved, the money's out of it. You say, Brother Dave, there's tithing. Tithing has nothing to do with salvation. If you're saved and you never give another dime to God's work, you're still going to heaven. The Bible says that your house is going to be cursed. But I'm a tither. I desperately want people to tithe. And I know these times are tough, but the Bible still tells you to tithe. I can't take it out. Now, what happens is this. If you get somebody saved and they know that they don't have to give money to be saved, you just took away their money. You just took away their money. And if you take away their money, they're not going to like you too much. That's why people don't want to see people get saved. This old grace thing, are you kidding? Grace? It's not grace. You've got to live well. It's not grace. You've got to be good. It's not grace. You've got to do works. It's not grace. You've got to do all these other things. It's not what the Bible teaches. So if the people would take the time to say, you know what, that doesn't line up with Scripture, though. You tell me I've got to do the sacraments, but that doesn't line up with Scripture. You tell me that I've got to do a certain thing or say a certain thing or do a certain thing. That's not what Scripture says. Scripture says, he that hath the Son hath life. Scripture does not say, he that hath the Son give his 50%. That's not what it says. See, what you got to understand is Paul was coming to them saying, it's not these works that I used to do, because Paul used to be part of that. It's not these works that I used to do. It's exactly what you're doing is wrong. You've got to believe in Jesus Christ. That's what gets you eternal life. Believing on that Messiah that you continue to look for, he's already been here. That's what he's trying desperately to teach them. The word of God was preached of Paul at Berea. They came thither also and stirred up the people. Verse 15, and they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred within him. Why? Because he looked out at people, and when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. They were living a life that was contrary to the word of God, and his heart was stirred. His heart was stirred, realizing that the people were not going to get to heaven on their current course. His heart was stirred because he realized he looked out at a congregation of souls that were never going to get to heaven. I want you to think with me for a minute. Can you imagine? And I know that there are people saved in every single church house. I'm not discounting that. You believe in Jesus Christ. I don't care what pew you're sitting in. Although I believe it makes a difference to your life, it doesn't make a difference to your eternity. If you believe in Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter where you're at, you're going to heaven. Amen? Can you imagine looking out at a crowd? I did a funeral. 200 people were there. And I looked out at a crowd of people that were not going to heaven. Why? Because they were never in a place that preached the word, that preached Christ. Now, listen. These televangelists today and these people today that are building these 80,000 member churches, and I'm not against numbers. I'm not. I'd love to have 80,000 here. But what I am against is how they're getting them. By tucking away some of the Word of God and bringing out parts that they want you to hear because that's what you want to hear. It would be easy for us to fill this building with people if we never talked about sin. It would be easy for us to fill this building if we had dance parties. It'd be easy for us to fill this building as if we preached for 5 minutes and sang for 40. It would be easier for us to do these things if we tucked away what the Scripture teaches us to do. But that is not what God wants from us. The reason that we have so many off-brand churches that are dipping their colors, that are taking the Baptist off their plaque, and I'm glad they're taking the Baptist off. They weren't Baptist to begin with. The reason that we have so many of those doing that is because their pews aren't being filled. They think that it's man's job to fill the church house. It's not man's job. It's God's job. Preach the word. That's what he wants you to do. Paul came in and preached the word. He preached the word to the people. That's what needed to be done. His spirit was stirred within him because he saw a congregation of people that were not going down a path that would lead to eternal life in heaven. He saw that path was going to lead to an eternal death in hell. And when he saw that city wholly given to idolatry, he disputed in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." How sad would it be if that would be a strange god? Think about that now. That it was strange. It was a strange god to them to hear the resurrection and Jesus. It was strange. Then the New Agers come. And I'm going to park here for a while. The New Agers come. The New Agers that take out the sinner. The New Agers that take out the blood of Jesus Christ. The New Agers that everything's all right in my Father's house. The New Agers that come in and say, "You know what? It'll be all right without the blood." The New Agers that come in and say, "You know what? You really don't need to have excitable preaching anymore. I would to God I just had a quiet man up there." Listen, we live in a day and age now where you better start shouting about something. Amen. You live in a day and age now where you better start preaching when your face gets red. You better have somebody now that cares about souls going to hell. Yes, sir. Because they're not hearing it anywhere else. Yep. It's becoming strange in our own churches. Yep. To hear about sin anymore. It's becoming strange in our own churches to hear about Jesus Christ anymore. I listened for 15 to 20 minutes. My favorite in the whole wide world, Captain Joel. For 15 minutes, he talked, and he did not say one thing about Jesus Christ. He did not say one thing about God. He did not say, and I understand it was only a 15-minute segment, but that's all I could take. I had to go to the bathroom and throw up. People are not going to get saved without hearing the word. People are not going to get saved without hearing that they need to be saved. And people's lives aren't going to be changed unless they realize that they're doing something wrong. It saddens my heart to know that we're living in that day where people having itching ears seek unto themselves teachers. We would like a teacher more than a preacher. Because and I don't have anything against a good teacher, but a good teacher is going to get a little excited too, amen? I don't believe Paul stepped into the synagogue preacher and said,
"My dear Jewish brothers, let me open to you the dissertation found in Isaiah and speak to you a few moments."
I believe he looked them in the eye. Now listen to me. This is what makes people different. You can get up here and shout and scream all you want to, but this is what makes the difference. When you look them in the eye, and you see somebody that needs what you've got to say about God. When you look people in the eye and you let them know that Jesus Christ loves you today, and you realize that they are going to need what you've got to say today to get them to Wednesday. When you're looking out in a congregation of people, there may be somebody there that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior. See, when you look at people, I always try to tell people, look at them through Jesus Christ's eyes and you'll see a different person. Look at them through Jesus Christ's eyes, that soul he died for. Paul was standing in the group in the synagogue knowing that Jesus died for these people. And they needed to hear what he had to say. See, he wasn't interested in what they could give him. He wasn't interested in making himself known or popular. He was interested in their soul. He was interested. He makes the statement, Christian, you got to hear this. He makes the statement that he would rather go to hell himself and have his brethren go to heaven. He would rather go into hell himself than to see one of his brothers go there. That's a statement, Christian. These are strangers to him. But he would rather go to hell. He would to God he could trade them places. And I don't know that I can say that. But he's teaching us. He's teaching us here to look at things differently. He's teaching us here. Don't shave off what the Scripture teaches. Preach it. Because it is what people need. He goes to these New Agers. Look down here, verse 23. The Bible says, "For I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" That's porcupine preaching right there. Now listen, you got to think for a minute. How in the world could they have an inscription on an altar that says, "To the unknown God"? How's that possible? Brother Rod, I just got to thinking about this. There's a reason that we have Muhammad. There's a reason that we have Buddha. There's a reason that we have the Hindu and all these other religions, the Christian science and all the craziness that's out there. There's a reason that we have all that. Do you know what it is? Think about this for a minute. There's a reason we've got the Jehovah's Witnesses. There's a reason that we've got the Mormons. There's a reason for all that. Do you know why? Because somebody said it. Somebody had to come up and say, there is no hell. Somebody had to get up and say, you don't have to worry about hell. Because all you got is heaven or terrestrial or celestial, and start putting all these. Somebody had to say it. in this, with this Areopagus and these great minds. They were put up on this mountaintop for a reason, because people thought they were smart. They were put up there because the people looked up to them as the intellects of the day. There are people up there that what they said, people heard. They're E.F. Hutton up there. And listen to me now. Somebody had to say, we can't know God, for that to be on that altar. Somebody had to say that. Somebody that people listened to had to say, that must be true. And they didn't receive the scripture with readiness of mind, and they did not search the scriptures daily to find out what was true or not. So they have an altar, and the people, being sheep, were led to this, worshiping somebody they can't even know. Can you imagine, and I'm all done, can you imagine being in a place where you can't know Jesus Christ? Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Jesus Christ was telling you, if you want to know me, not what Brother Mark Thompson thinks, or Brother Dave Ballard thinks, or Brother Carl McDaniel thinks, although these are good men. If you want to know about Jesus Christ, you search the scriptures, because that's where you're going to find out about me. We have a God we can know. You're never going to see, this is always going to say, this do in remembrance of me. It's never going to say, to the unknown God. Because you've got a preacher that knows his Savior. You got a preacher that knows his God. He's never going to stand in this pulpit. He's never going to stand in this pulpit and say, we can't know him. But it's that type of thing. People hear it, and because somebody of importance said it, it's got to be true. And because somebody with a highfalutin talk about them and a great oratorial like our current president, who can speech you into dream world. I want to know truth. I've got to search the scripture, because that's where I'm going to find my Savior, and that's where I'm going to find the truth. I'm not going to have a man tell me unless he's got scripture. That's what Paul was telling them. You've got an altar to the unknown God. That breaks my heart. Because you can know my God. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You need to know him. He's teaching us that you need to know him. Don't be bannered about. Don't be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine that comes. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this time in Sunday school. Lord, I thank you so much for Brother Paul. Lord, I'm learning a great deal, studying Acts, studying the way that he preached and the way that he spoke, studying the way that he loved people and sought after them. He saw the soul. He didn't see the face. And Lord, I would to God we could be that way. I would to God that we'd be sticky about these scriptures. I would to God that this church would desire to hear from them and not hear from men. Lord, I'm so thankful that over and over in Acts you talk about your word being preached, your word being preached, your word being preached. And Paul, great man though he was, could never be greater than the word that he preached. Lord, I thank you so much for that. Lord, be with us today. Anoint my pastor. Anoint my preacher, Lord. I want you to speak through him today in a way that we need to have. Be with him. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.